This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
Hopefully there's some cold open in there, because we've been so efficient in this one. I was thinking like,
I know, there's going to be no cold close or cold open.
Hey there. Welcome back to another episode of She Builds Podcast, where we typically share the untold stories of historical women in the building and construction industry. I'm Lizzie Rahr, back in lockdown in San Francisco.
I'm Nurjeri Rivas, living the quarantine life in Houston, Texas.
And I'm Jessica Rogers, binge watching yet another show from Washington, D.C.
It's episode 20, you guys.
We made it through 2 seasons. So we wanted to end this season like we did the last one, with sort of like a wrap up or a reflection, if you will, of what we have learned throughout this journey.
So, Jessica, Lizzie, what was most exciting for you both about this season?
Well, I loved learning the different languages and phrases from all of the different countries that we looked at. And we also talked about some pretty iconic houses and people. I really liked that we got to take a deeper dive into some of these projects and people.
Yeah, I think just learning more about women outside the US and the differences of each country or time period were really fascinating. And like Jessica said, we had fun throwing a little flavor of each location into the episode as well, and reaching out to friends or friends of friends to help us out. So I liked that aspect of it. Which reminds me, there are a few episodes where we had help with a few phrases here and there and didn't get a chance to include shoutouts. So gracias to Farah and Stacy for giving us phrase suggestions for the Margot and Concepcion episodes.
Yes, gracias. Finding so much information about my ladies was really exciting for me this season. This time around, I picked women that are a little more famous, so it was easier to find info. Then it really became an issue to stop the research and write the script. I gotta get better about stopping the research.
Yeah, I mean, going international was really fun. So ladies, what are some topics or moments that stood out to you?
I felt there was a lot of juicy drama this season. It felt more dramatic than season one. Homicide, infidelity, yeah. Sex parties. Literally, one of our ladies is a storyline of a soap opera.
Yes, exactly. I feel like every episode had a lot happening in it. And I remember we were always asking or looking up phrases of shock and awe in every language because there was always some drama that needed to be addressed.
Yeah. Yes.
So speaking of, are you ladies ready for a little more tea?
It wouldn't be season two without some tea. Bring the pot over. I want more.
I mean, I figured it was only appropriate to close out the season with a little more.
All right.
So, okay, before we aired the episode on Hans Ruder, I found out about a book called I Love You, Rietveld. And it's a whole book about Truus and Gerrit's relationship. And in an excerpt of the book, the author alludes to the fact that Han might be Gerrit's child instead of Fritz's.
Nu brengt mein klomp.
My wooden shoe breaks.
Right? So, okay, the book is only published in Dutch, so I was not able to read the entire thing and find out more, but I did reach out to the author, Jessica van Geel, and she was so kind in sending me a very thorough response to explain how she came to that idea. However, she does note that, of course, there's no hard evidence to support this, but through her research of the family dynamics and interviews with grandchildren of the families and family friends, it doesn't feel far-fetched. So, she notes that Truus's first two children were born in the first 2 years after she and Fritz married in 1911. And not long after that, their marriage really started to break down, and her relationship with Gerrit started to ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
Truus would often go to a summer house that they had without Fritz, and Gerrit did go to that house on occasion, either to do furniture repairs, but it was also noted that they would walk together in the area and they met people there. So that was all going down. And Truus also saved a letter from Fritz during this time where he basically says that they've completely grown apart. And then in 1918, Han is born.
Say what?
Connecting dots.
So the other element is that Han developed a really close relationship with Gerrit that her older siblings didn't. And maybe that's also because they grew up and left the house sooner. But if you recall, that carried on well after she went to school and left the house. So I can see where the author came to that conclusion. And she also said that some of the friends and family that she interviewed made the suggestion as well.
Maybe the older siblings saw Gerrit as a homewrecker, sided with their father, and Han was too young to know better?
Maybe.
Perhaps. All I know is, if this is true, then Han must have been double talented, with having Truus as a mother and Gerrit as an alleged father.
Definitely. So, dank u wel, Jessica, for emailing me all of this information. It is so interesting, and I definitely need to work on my Dutch so that I can read the entire book.
Yeah, if the book was in English, I would want to read that. Better yet, yeah. This could be a movie. Do we have the number for Netflix?
Good call, Jessica.
Let's make it happen.
Something else that stood out to me about this season was that a lot of them were affected by world wars, be it one, two, or both. It was interesting to listen to what each of them did during those times, how their practices did or did not survive or went on pause. Their stories of resilience are always my favorite parts.
Yeah, it's interesting to think that these women were living their lives, but the world was still going on around them. And to look at how they adapted to it, right? Some had to flee. Some were active participants in the wars. When they returned and they continued to create and do great things. It's a good reminder for us to look at when we think about the current climate that we're in.
Yeah,
that's true.
So what were some similarities and differences that you noticed in the stories between the women of season one and season two?
One of my favorite Jessica one-liners, and there's a lot to choose from, came on episode 11. I was talking about Margot getting paid less than men, being told her only defect was being a woman, and Jessica said,
new season, same BS. And I was like, that's so true. And it would remain true through season two and to this day.
Yep. It's one of those things that you think this has to be something historical, right? Like, you would think that this couldn't possibly be the case now. That was so long ago. Women are doing so many new things now. It's 2020. We just elected our first female vice president in the United States. The number of licensed architect is still not split down 50-50 between genders. And there's still a lot of work to do.
For sure. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but it's still so maddening whenever you hear about those kinds of things. Or like in episode 16, how Concepcion's university couldn't stop giving her backhanded compliments. Which reminds me that this season we heard a lot about how architecture and engineering was seen as such a male pursuit.
Yes, that really surprised me how other professions like medicine and law were acceptable for women before architecture was okay. Like, what?
It is really interesting because, I don't know, I guess the building and construction industry is just so male dominated since the beginning in all aspects. So it must have been hard for women to even be accepted. I mean, hence, this is why we're here. We have these stories that we're telling, and that's also why we haven't heard of these women before.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we talked a little bit about that in episode 17, how it seemed like women in the fields of medicine and law had become more commonplace and people saw a need for it, but that people still argued that there wasn't a need for women in construction fields. And I think that's what's interesting to me is the perception of how necessary it might be to have a woman in a certain profession, and that that's how they were arguing the case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another common thread among a lot of them was work and achievements being attributed to men. I kept thinking of that movie Big Eyes throughout the whole season.
Ooh, yes. Big Eyes is a great example to compare it to. And I completely agree. I feel like that happened a lot with husband and wife duos like Nobuko and Kameki. And we've mentioned that before with Denise Scott Brown. But we also saw it with collaborative relationships like Lily and Meese. But even with Minette and how Jeffrey Bawa got credit for starting a type of architecture that was clearly started by her, but she just wasn't in the thick of the architecture scene in her country, so she got overlooked.
Yeah. I don't know this movie, Big Eyes, but I agree.
It's good. You should watch.
Yeah, add it to your list.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But seriously, when I was learning about Turhan Sultan, it mentioned that a lot of the work from the women sultans were attributed to the males. And even last season, Le Corbusier is stealing the entire thunder from Jane Drew in Chandigarh.
This guy again. Yeah, Corbu, he also took credit for E1027 along with Jean Baluchi. But either way, Corbu, his name is not even in the acronym. This was Eileen. It's not EC1027 or whatever. It's E1027.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing. The list goes on and on and on. And I'm sure we're going to run into it over and over again on our show.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's do something I enjoyed doing last time around, even though it was so hard. I'll start with Jessica. What episode that wasn't yours did you find most interesting?
Ooh, that is hard. Okay, so the ladies in this season was just so fascinating. But I think I would have to pick Turhan because we didn't just learn about her. We learned about the Ottoman Empire, the Sultanate of Women, and hello, this soap opera of a story.
Yes, that one was super interesting and full of drama.
I think that's the one I enjoyed the most researching. There was just so much to draw from. Remember how hard it was for me to edit that script?
Yeah, there was just so much information and it was just hard to kind of condense it.
Yeah, we would have had to create our own audio version of this telenovela. It would have been like in parts because it's just so much.
So I really enjoyed the Lily Reich episode. I think partly because it was just really fun to learn about so many of my favorite projects, like the Tugendhat House and the Barcelona Pavilion, mm-hmm. and that those were things she worked on and she was a big part of.
I yeah. agree. That was a ton of fun. And the fact that we visited some of those spaces, knowing Lily's involvement now, makes the memories even more special. I also yeah. like listening to the story and the drama behind the Schroeder House.
Mm. Yeah. I guess the other thing that we have in common with this season across the episodes is that we actually traveled to the places that we've mentioned.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah. It's been really fun to learn about the women who are from or designed places that we actually got to visit exactly. and see. Although it makes me want to go back and look at it in a different way. I kind of wish I'd known when I was there. Yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag same. She builds golds.
Yes.
Yes.
And Arc Adventures. Okay. So to continue on our little game, Nordry, coworker, mentor, or best friend, who would you choose? Margot Tale, Turhan Sultan, or Minet De Silva?
Okay. Coworker Minet. She launched her own firm right out of school. I'd join her and we'd do innovative architecture together.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you would contribute to what was it called again? Regional modernism?
Yes, regional modernism, emphasizing local craft and materials and combining vernacular motifs with modern architecture. I would be all about that. Yeah. And then as a mentor, I would pick Turhan Sultan because she was kicking butt and taking names.
Building everywhere. Bam, 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 bam.
Too true. Let that boss status rub off yeah. on me.
Yeah.
And best friend, Margot. Because she just did so much for the profession and teaching everyone. I think she would do the same for me. And we'd hang out by the beach eating mangú and mofongo all day.
Ah, sí, claro. Tu hermana caribeña. Eso.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. Lizzie, if you could grab coffee with Han, Concepcion, or Nobuko, who would you choose and why? Ooh, and what could you not leave the coffee date without asking?
It's tough, but I think I would have coffee with Han. I would want to just ask her more about her experience growing up in the Schroeder House and just more details on her experiences during the war and moving to the U.S. I think it would be really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. You could also ask her if she knew who her official papa was.
OMG, Jessica, what if she had no idea that there's a Siri and then you just shatter her world with this revelation? You're like one of those DNA and me things.
You mean 23andMe?
Yeah, sure, that, whatever. Same thing. Okay. Is that what it's called? 23andMe?
23andMe. Yes.
Okay. And yes. They're not sponsoring us, everybody. They no, shatter really not. DNA. They shatter lives.
Yeah.
Like Jessica.
DNA and me, thanks. I think I would want to go on a photography trip with Nobuko.
Ooh, that would be really fun. I bet she would have an interesting eye.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Now, Jessica, out of Lily, Eileen, or Zaha, who would you go on vacation with, where, and why?
Well, for obvious reasons, I think I would want to be with Zaha. Her projects are just cool, and I would have so many different locations to choose from.
Mm, that's a good choice. And you know Zaha mm-hmm. travels in style, and you can piggyback on that. And then you can explore while she's out working.
That's yep, smart.
True, true, true. All right. So, ladies, are there any comments that you want to elaborate on that you might not have said throughout the season?
You know, I've loved that when the episodes drop, a few loyal friends always text me and we discuss each lady, and the conversations that have developed have been a lot of fun. I hope everyone out there is listening and starting good conversations too.
Yeah, same. And well, I don't have a comment per se that I'd want to elaborate on, but we do have phrases. So like we mentioned, we said phrases in the language that the ladies came from. So throughout the season, we spoke German,
Dutch,
Japanese,
Arabic,
Irish,
Turkish,
Spanish, Sinhalese,
and Tamil.
And yet, we never explained what these phrases meant. So, listeners, be sure to check in through our social media channels to get some translations for some of the phrases that we used.
Maybe we can translate a few of our favorite phrases, like the German one about the pig. What was that, Lizzie?
Ich glaub mein Schwein pfeift. I think my pig whistles. And it's a slang German phrase of surprise.
That's such a good phrase. I need to work that into my daily life more often.
Totally.
Also, Lizzie, your rendition of Umbe, Gewaina was on point. I think you say it even better than me. That is a phrase in the Dominican Republic, and it can be used in a lot of situations. It kind of means, man, that's some crap. But disclaimer, I'm Puerto Rican, so Dominican friends, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong.
So the word that I still use in my everyday life now is scanalach, which is Irish, which means scandal. And I say it with everything that's going on. Gossip in the news, scanalach. Getting up in the morning, scanalach. Made a delicious cocktail, scanalach. Ate a naughty dessert, scanalach.
I wonder if any, like, as you kept going on, it seemed like it applied less and less.
No. Speak for yourself, okay? Eating a chocolate molten cake, that can be scandalous.
That can be scandalous.
Waking up in the morning?
Yeah, the waking up in the morning is where you lost me.
Hello, who woke up early this morning? You did? Scandal? You never wake up in the morning. You woke up 30 minutes late? Scandal. Scandalach.
Irish listeners, let us know how you use this phrase.
How you use scanalach.
Yes, we do apologize throughout.
Yes,
yes.
We really try.
So for me, I really loved looking up all the Dutch phrases. The Dutch have so many hilarious phrases that they use, and I wish we could have used more of them, but of course, not every one applied. But Nu breekt mijn klomp is a phrase of shock that means my wooden shoe breaks. And Nu komt de aap uit de mouw literally means the monkey came out the sleeve. But it's sort of like letting the cat out of the bag in English.
They sound so fun, too.
I know.
Yeah, they are. Nu breekt mijn klomp.
All right. Final thoughts. What are we looking forward about season 3?
So I really enjoyed this season and getting even more into our groove with the podcast. And I'm really excited for season 3 to focus on women who might have influenced architecture, more engineers, and hopefully some landscape architects.
Yeah, we've really found our groove. And I'm just excited to learn more and to research more.
Agreed. I'm excited to focus on women outside of architecture. I want to discuss women shaping the built environment who are not necessarily architects, because I think it will open our eyes to a different set of challenges and a lot more learning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Agreed.
Agreed. All right, guys, this is the end of season 2. Before we leave, we want to remind you to please let us know what you thought of our episode and the season. If you've enjoyed this season, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your coworkers, your neighbors, your dogs, your cats, the people in your church virtually, your Twitter family, and give us 5 stars on iTunes. Write us a review. And this will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
We are excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about women bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com, leave a comment on our website, shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on Twitter at shebuildspod.
We're going on a short break while we develop season 3. And we'll be back in March. This is a great time to tell your friends about this season,
re-listen to your favorite episodes, and start conversations about everyone you've heard about. So, this is not goodbye, just to see you later. Until season 3, adios!
Tschüss!
Tot ziens! Bye-bye!
Slan leave gofoyo!
Ayubowan! Priya vida!
Wadayan!
And sayonara!
Bye!
Bye!
We're going on...
Bye!
No!
It's mine!
Oh, we're not done yet.
Lizzie was ready to peace out.
It's on another page, and I thought it was... No, you're trying to cut me out, censor me.
She literally, like, closed the door in your face podcastingly.
She did!
Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability? Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to. We have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guideposts for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.